What a rich story, and it's going to be a very short sermon today that probably won't do justice to this text, but there's so much in it. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. We know where he's heading, to the cross, to suffering. He's travelling in this in-between land, it's in between this liminal space between Judea and Samaria, where we get the outsiders mixing with the insiders. And he encounters these lepers, 10 lepers. We hear that they're a long way off. They call to Jesus from a distance. So we can assume the type of leprosy they have is significant and severe and has caused them to be outcast from their communities. And we know that one of them is even more of an outsider. He's a Samaritan, unrecognized by the people of Israel, of being of the same faith, although Samaritans and Jews had very common roots in their faith. Leprosy in the scripture is a very broad term. Even your house could get leprosy, rising damp and things like that. You'd get the priest in after you dealt with it to declare it clean. But there were forms of leprosy that became debilitating, that caused people not only threatened them with death, physical death, but also with social and cultural death. They were made into non-people. When I was in the Philippines, I spent some time working in a place called Culion, which is in the northeastern part of Palawan. It's an area where there's lots of islands. And one of these islands, Culion, used to be, even from Spanish times, 300 years ago, a leper colony. It was an island that people, if they had this leprosy, were just sent to and abandoned there. Later it became a site for what we know as the leprosy mission. The church has a program there, and all the descendants who live on Culion are people who have had leprosy. Some of them, even in recent times, and you can see where their limbs, because they lost the sense of feeling, have been damaged, where parts of their bodies gone missing. I went there with a group of people, and one of the people working for the church at that time was very nervous. He was anxious about everything, but he especially didn't like going out on boats on the ocean. And we had to go on these pump boats from island to island. So he decided to stay behind on Culion, this place that had been a leper colony. And while he was there, because he was too afraid to go on the boats, he started to have a drink with the guys, all the men that were on the island. And in the Philippines, when you're socially drinking, you share a common cup and you pass it from hand to hand. And so they were there when we came back and we saw them, sitting there on the beach, sharing a cup of wine, passing the cup from one to another. And one of the guys said to me, "We really like your friend. You know, he really understands us and mixes in well with us. There's very few people who will share the same cup with a leper." And this guy's face went pure white. He didn't realise for a moment what he was doing. But leprosy is now a curable disease, but even to think of you might have it sends this shudder through you. Ida went to a doctor friend of ours once when we were in the Philippines, and she had a spot on her back where she'd lost all the feelings. And Dr. Montez got a piece of paper and he rolled it up and he started tapping her on her back with the pointy end. And we said, "Doc, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I think she might have leprosy." And that's sort of not the word you expect a doctor to sort of blurt out. So suddenly this fear goes through us. Leprosy now is eminently treatable, but still it's a word that brings fear to us. Here we are, 10 lepers. Jesus says to them, they call out to Jesus, "Have pity on us." They obviously recognize Jesus as some kind of outstanding healer. They call out to Jesus, "Have pity on us." And Jesus recognizes them and he says, okay, go show yourselves to the priests. Because in Leviticus, this is the way that you get to be declared clean and welcomed back into society, into community. He hasn't healed them, but he sent them off as though they are already healed or cleansed. And we're told as they go, so as they head off to the priest, they are cleansed, they're made clean. Twice this word is used of being cleansed, made clean. They head off and as they go, they're cleansed. The leprosy has left them. But one of them, realizing what has happened, turns back to Jesus. And he gives thanks to God. And in the posture of a disciple, a follower, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Notice he doesn't say your faith has cleansed you. He says your faith has made you well. And when you look at that word well, it comes from the word sodze, which in the Greek is to be saved. Your faith have saved you. And Jesus says, you know, weren't there 10? How come only one has come back? Where are the others? And this one that's come back, it's not one of the people of Israel that you would expect to understand how God works. This is an outsider who is in the insight to understand what has truly happened in his life. You know, I think the story is saying, you know, we can come to Jesus, we can ask from Jesus for what we need, and we can go back to normal life and carry on. We're sick. We come to Jesus, Lord, heal me. We're made well. We go on with our lives as normal. But this guy realizes that in the presence of Jesus, we're invited to something that is beyond normal. A true encounter with Jesus, we can never go back to how we were before. We're saved. We're made whole. We're liberated. And we're invited to fall at Jesus' feet and become a disciple. Jesus invites us to something that is way beyond normal. Do we have the courage to turn to Jesus and recognize who he truly is and what he truly calls us to? May God bless us. May God disturb us into greater and more faithful discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen.